Morning.
Good morning.
We're studying this Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Colossians 2. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your merciful, gracious, loving, bountiful hands. Everything we are and have, we have received by your grace, and by your grace that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we know, we believe, we understand something of who Christ is and what he has done for us, what he means to us. But we want to grow in grace, the knowledge of him. We want to grow more thankful for him, to you, for him. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Your word is light, life. It's glorious. It's your voice. It's how you call your people from darkness to light. It's how you called us, and we ask that you would speak to us this morning, speak through your word. Give us a good day of worship. We are here, we hope and pray to worship you. You're so worthy. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you. We are met here in thy Son's name, honor and glorify our God and his Son, his Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit, enable us to enter into these things. Pray that he will keep the thoughts of this world from us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. There's an old Arabian tale that 300 or 400 years old, I made a movie out of. I kind of like watching it with my granddaughters, Aladdin's Lamp. And in that tale, a young boy comes across a little secret passageway into this vast mountain, and goes down into that secret passageway and comes upon a huge cavernous room that's full of treasures. Everywhere you look, gold, silver, precious stones, emeralds and rubies and diamonds and sapphires and all of that. Well, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. This is the one verse we're going to look at. In him, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasure. I started studying this last week in preparation to bring it on Wednesday night. But I thought, this is too deep. There's too much here for Wednesday night. Too much for Sunday morning. Deep. I just kept running across treasure after treasure. And look, emerald. The gates of the city have all those. You think that's silly what I just told you, that illustration? Everything is for that purpose. Everything is a sermon. I remember my father one time standing up right before the mess, and he said, "Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers." And it got everybody's attention. And he said, now that I've got your attention, for some reason the introduction gets lost and the rustling around and all that. In Christ are hid straight and narrow way. Hid deep within the mind, the heart, the purpose, covenant, the word of God himself. That's as vast as the universe. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The gates of the city have many precious stone. If you read that over in the Revelation, every single one of them represents Jesus Christ. Everything in this Bible represents Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All the treasures of wisdom, knowledge. If there's any wisdom, it has to have something to do with Jesus Christ. Or it's foolishness. Knowledge. All knowledge is useless, vain knowledge, unless it has something to do with knowing Him. Whom to know is to have eternal life. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this is no fable. Peter said, we haven't written a cunningly devised fable. He said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. God revealed to Simon Peter and the apostles Himself in Christ. Verse 3, it says, in whom, all the way through, Joseph's going to read Ephesians 2 this morning, but all the way through Ephesians, in him, it's all in Him. Verse 3, in whom, in Christ, are hid. Do you know that? That in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That all salvation is in Him. That all the types, shadows, pictures, symbols, ceremonies, every law, everything, all the prophets and the prophets and apostles gave witness. Do you know that? Well, it's not hid from you, is it? It's hid from the wise and the prudent. Hid from the wise and the prudent, revealed unto babes. And in verse 2, we looked at this last week. It says that our hearts might be comforted. The knowledge of Him is comfort for our heart. The knowledge that He created all things are in His hands. We're in His hands. Salvation's in His hands. That's heart comfort. There is no comfort anywhere else. There's no comfort. Not in doctrine. No comfort in doctrine. But there's comfort in knowing a living Lord. A living Lord was given my soul to take care of by the Father. In my times, my soul, my life, my family, everything about me to the hair on my head is in His hand. Now that's heart comfort. Heart comfort. The riches of full assurance. As we said last week, lots of people are rich in the things of this world, but they're miserable. They worry about these things. That's all they worry about. That's not rich. That's being very poor. These things that promise happiness and don't give it, they give the opposite. The full assurance of understanding. The acknowledging of the mystery of God. It's a mystery. But God has made these things known unto us. And our children, at least in their heads. I'm so thankful that I grew up like these, hearing the truth. The Scriptures. I was taught the Scriptures, weren't we, Tammy? That are able to make us wise unto salvation. And in God's good time, turn the light on it. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Christ. It's all Christ. So they at least know this in their heads that Christ is all. It's a mystery to most. Hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, hidden from the wise and the prudent, revealed unto babes. Our Lord said, except you become as little children, you'll not see the kingdom of God. You'll not enter the kingdom of God. We've looked at this many times. That a child believes you. Whatever you tell that child, they implicitly trust you. Call it gullible. No, it's faith. Right? A child believes a parent, they tell you something, it's not being gullible, it's faith. No guile in them, they believe you, they trust you. A child, when you tell them something wonderful, they're thrilled with it, so excited about it. So it is with the gospel. You must be born again. Receive the Word as a little child. Desire the sincere milk of the Word like a babe. And rejoice in it. Never lose your rejoicing. Never lose that sweetheart love, that childlike reception of the truth. These things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. But Paul said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? They're hidden from the rich, those that are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But they're revealed to the poor and needy. All the treasures. Oh, how man loves his treasures. And we treasure many things, don't we? Riches, things are precious to man, desired, sought after, held to. Man loves his money. Man loves his home. People would treasure many things. Money, home, family, especially things. They're going to lose all of them. And then the pain of losing them is worse than, exceeds the joy of having them. And usually lasts longer. Family things, we strive for them, we care for them, and we live for them. Treasures. And it's a lifelong struggle. The treasures of this world is a lifelong struggle to obtain. They that will be rich, Paul said, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Those that want to be rich. Who does not? What human being doesn't want to be rich? Most do. And so it's a lifelong struggle to obtain these riches. And then, once you have them, you struggle, how am I going to spend it? Tell me, is it not so with you? You get a little extra money, do you think about it? Do you think about how you're going to spend it? Anybody? Everybody. Everybody. I had a friend who worked for a man in a coal, back when the coal boom hit Eastern Kentucky and North Carolina and all that, the coal became like gold, black gold. And a friend of mine worked for this fella. He went to high school with him, and he was just an old common southeastern Kentucky boy, like anybody else, poor. And, all right. Well, he had a little farm he lived on, and they discovered coal, a thick vein of coal on his property. He was an instant multi-millionaire. Instantly. Now, he's a nobody from nowhere. They discovered it, all right? He has wealth beyond his imagination. And my friend, so he opened up this coal mine and all that, and my friend went to work for him. And he said one day that man came in, his buddy came in to work, and he looked awful. And he said, Larry, what's wrong? He said, I haven't slept in 3 days. He said, how come? He said, I'm trying to find out how to spend my money. He bought Ferraris. He bought yachts. He bought it all. And he was miserable. He couldn't even sleep. So we labor to obtain. Then we labor how to spend it. And then we got to worry about keeping it. You got to guard it. Protect it against loss. When our Lord said three little things will take it away from you. A thief, a moth, the finest clothing, a moth will ruin it, and rust. I don't care what. You might have a new Chevy, but it's going to rust. I told you one time, you might as well go ahead and put a scratch on it. Get the paint over with. How to keep it. And then, we get old, who am I going to leave it to? Who am I going to leave it to? It doesn't matter because they're going to spend it up. Waste it. So what was it all for? Nothing. There's a reason zeros are at the end of money. Listen to wisdom from above. Proverbs 10, listen to this. Proverbs 10:22 says, The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and there's no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Because you don't lose the blessing of the Lord. What is the blessing? Yeah, that's right, Christ. He that blesses himself, Isaiah 65, he that blesses himself in the earth, blesseth himself in the God of truth. You know the truth shall make you free. Free from what? The pursuit of vain things. True riches, true treasure, real happiness is found in two things. That's the introduction. All right, I want you to consider with me this morning the great wisdom and knowledge of God and our Lord in the gospel. The treasure that is the gospel that you're about to hear, that you just heard. And secondly, the treasure, the great wisdom and knowledge of His person, our God, our Christ His person. The great wisdom and knowledge of God and Christ revealed in the gospel. The purpose of God to save. Go to Ephesians 1 with me. Joseph, we're going to meet you there. Ephesians 1, go there. The purpose of God to save, to have a kingdom. Oh, the great purpose of God in salvation, ordered in all things and sure. Every jot and tittle. What wisdom, what knowledge it took to conceive this purpose of salvation. John Newton called it the great genius of the gospel. I hate to hear anybody called a genius. He's a genius. Oh, is he? Does he know God? Well, no, he's given his life to look at studying science. Well, then it's falsely so-called. He's no genius. He's a fool. The genius. God's the genius. His ways are past finding him. Oh, the depth, the riches, the knowledge of God. His the genius of the God. Ephesians 1, look at verse 9. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. So God, before the world began, purposed this kingdom of His dear Son, and ordered every second, every moment, every event, every person, place, thing, event in the history of the world to bring it all together into this perfect completion of it. Now I'm talking things too wonderful for that. The wisdom, knowledge of our God, His purpose of salvation. Chapter 2, look at Ephesians 2, verse 7. In the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Every single thing that's ever happened is connected. And someday, we're going to have enough time for Him to show us. I did this, look at this, I did this. That you were connected with somebody in China. That something had to happen in Bulgaria for this to happen. This is a genius of our God. The wisdom, the knowledge, the depth, the riches, the treasures. This is why Paul wrote, and I'm trying to quote it. I do memorize, but I forgot. It says, and oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment, His ways past finding. Now, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who can plumb these depths, fathom these depths? Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, the wisdom. And then there's the purpose, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and the purpose to save, and the purpose of the kingdom given to Christ. And then the performance of that purpose. The performance. Not left up to chance. Nothing's left up to anyone or anything. You know who's left up to? Jesus Christ. He's called wisdom. He's wise to do it. What God purposed. to perform it. Give it into the hands of His Son. And long before He came, the prophets all said, He shall not fail. He won't even be discouraged. I love thinking about every word our Lord spoke, Jesus Christ as a man. Every move He made, every gesture He made, every place He went, everything He did was divinely ordained before the world began. To bring His sheep to fulfill the law. He shall not fail. He did not. He shall accomplish that whereunto God says of the Word, which is Christ, shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it. And He did. His last words on the cross, finished. As a little boy, His first recorded words were, I must be about my Father's business. His last words, finished. Perfected. Completed. So God gave into His Son's hand to perform His purpose. How foolish would it be to invest all in things that fail, finite things. But our God purposed all things and gave them to His Son, and He did not fail. And His kingdom, His power, His glory is forever. So the wisdom of God and the purpose, the performance, and then the preservation of this purpose, His kingdom. There was no plan B. There never was a plan B. There are no contingencies. So this is what's wrong with dispensationalism. You heard that big term? Heaven? If you have, fine. If you haven't, that's fine too. What that means is people think, well, back in the beginning, people were saved by the law, and that didn't work. So now they're saved by grace. No. Nobody was ever saved by the law. Law wasn't given to give life. It shows sin. Always. The people in the Old Testament were saved by keeping the law and going through the... No, they weren't. They're saved by believing Jesus Christ. They didn't know His name was Jesus, but they knew He was the Christ to come. Abel. First story. A young man and his brother heard the truth from their parents. And they approached God. Abel brought the blood of a lamb. Where did he get that? Well, from God. Cain brought his works. And God rejected him. It's by grace He saved. Not of works, lest any man should lose. See, it's always been the same. People have always been... Christ said, no man cometh unto the Father but by man. And I tell you who Abel heard that from, Jesus Christ. It's Adam and Eve heard our Lord came walking in the cool of day. He taught them the gospel. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people are saved the same way, yesterday, today, and forever. By the same person, yesterday, today, and forever. So, the preservation of this purpose of God, the performance of it, preservation. He that keepeth Israel. That's who Jesus Christ is. He that keepeth Israel. Simon Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. Well, what's the power of God? Paul said, Christ is the power of God. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Oh, the wisdom and knowledge of our God, our Christ. Listen to this. Questions nobody's asking. How can God be just and justify men, sinners? Nobody's asking that question. Nobody's interested except God's people. Those whom He reveals the truth to. We know that answer. How can He be clean that's born of a woman? You can't. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born of God. That which is the flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. You understand these things, don't you? These are the deep questions. How can a holy and just God, how can He punish sin? He will by no means clear the guilty. Well, then how's He going to clear anybody? I'm guilty. How can God be just and yet merciful? You know what Psalm 85:10 says? Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know, what's that talking about? Not what? In whom? Mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. He's the daysman between us and God. He's the one who put his hand on God, the one who put his hand on man. That cross is the center of the universe. The one that hang there is the one that brought sinners to God, reconciled unto God. One. Just one. It's all in his. Oh, the wisdom, the knowledge of our God. Now, I've got 5 minutes to talk about his person. That was the purpose. Proverbs 8, go over there, and the scriptures says it much better than I try. Proverbs chapter 8, and you who read it know that Proverbs 4 and 5, especially 8, speak of wisdom, which is Christ. You remember the story of the Queen of Sheba going to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You remember that story? I love that story, don't you? She's going to prove him with hard questions. She thought she was somebody. Said she was queen. Queen? Oh, really? She thought she was rich, so she brought a bunch of riches with her. She's going to give him a gift. She's going to prove him with hard questions. I got some questions that Solomon wants to. Oh, really? He's going to ask you some questions that you'd never even thought of asking. And Solomon told her all her questions. Told her everything. He told her everything. This is what you really need to be asking. And it talks about Christ, Solomon, when he spoke of the name of the Lord. It was the name of the Lord that he was speaking all wisdom. Because everything Solomon wrote, a sister texted me the other day and about the Song of Solomon. Asking about that. I said, well, we did 7 messages on it. And the whole story of Song of Solomon is Christ, his church, isn't it? It's glorious. It's just glorious, Christ and his church. In Proverbs 8, it says here in verse 4, look at this. Unto you, O men, I call, my voice is to the sons of men. Who's doing the speaking here? Jesus Christ. He came to call his people. Oh, ye simple. That's us, simple. Understand wisdom, ye fools. We're not supposed to call each other fools, are we? He said, don't call your brother a fool. Don't do it. Don't do it. Why? Because you're just as much a fool as he is. But our Lord calls us that. Didn't he call his disciples that one? Oh, fools. After he arose. And they were all troubled and upset. We trusted it had been he that redeemed us. We thought he was going to bring the kingdom back. He said, oh, fools. After all you heard, you're still so foolish. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets, what did the prophets say? They were talking about Christ and him crucified. Proverbs 4 or 8 verse 5. Oh, you fools, you be of an understanding heart. Here I will speak of excellent things. Oh, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Excellent thing. People go after so many things, don't they? Think this is something excellent. This is something. Oh, this is the wisdom that far excels any other. Far excel. I never could understand why people get into physics and all that. Alan Jellin is in the physics. That's his job, nuclear. And I'm glad that some people have that knowledge. But when it's all said and done, and the Lord revealed to that one wise man, there were not many, but revealed to him, Alan, true wisdom. Now what's he do? He preaches Christ. Like Martin Lloyd Jones preaches Christ. He realizes all the physics. What's physics about? Jesus Christ. I'll speak excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. Shouldn't we listen to and believe someone who's right? You know, our Lord is right about everything. You ever talk to somebody that thinks they're always right? You don't like talking to them. I'd say who is right? Our Lord is. About everything. Everything. In fact, Paul said, God's true and every man's a liar. Well, he says in verse 6 here, and I'll speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right thing. My mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. God cannot lie. Christ cannot lie. I love these verses. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse, nothing wreathed, no hidden innuendo, no ulterior motive. He's telling the truth because it's true. And loved the truth and loved us. You know, man deals with man on the basis of himself, what he can get out of him. You know that? Either tell you the truth or lie to you. It depends on how it affects him. God can't lie. It's always the truth. And if he tells you the truth, oh, it's the best thing ever. Salvation. Look at verse 9. It's all plain to him that understands. If he ever gives you an understanding, everything made plain. Made plain. No more mystery. Right to them that find knowledge. Oh, I was going to go on and on. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. He's come and given us an understanding to know him. I have strength. By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule. Who? Jesus Christ. Verse 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me, early shall find me. Riches, verse 8, and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit's better than gold and fine gold. I lead in the way of righteousness. Paths of judgment. Verse 21, I cause those that love me to inherit substance. I'm going to fill their treasures. That means when you lose everything that in this world, you can still be a rich man. Anybody listen to that message I recommended by my pastor? How I became the world's richest man. The world doesn't have a clue what that's talking about. Because every one of us is going to lose everything in this world. Naked we came in this world, naked we're going to return, but you can still be rich. Like our Lord. Rich. Oh, the riches. Oh, the wisdom, the knowledge of our Lord, all that He said, all that our Lord said in one line, one phrase, one word could be studied forever. We could study forever one line of something our Lord said. Keep digging, keep digging. Oh, the wisdom of our Lord to do, to speak, to walk, to act, to deal with, to judge, to perform God's will and purpose. One last thing. I want you to look at this. Isaiah 53, talking about wisdom and knowledge. Isaiah 53. Look at this. One last thing. Isaiah 53. As you know, this is about Christ crucified. And I love this verse. Down in verse 11. Have it? You see verse 10. It was the pleasure of the Lord. It was the purpose of the Lord to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin. But he lives, and the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hand. And verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, shall my righteous servant justify many. By his knowledge. What's that mean? We need 10 more hours. Oh, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. His knowledge of the law. It must be perfect to offend at one point to be guilty of. John, he had to keep every jot and tittle of that law for us. Every single point, he had to fulfill it perfectly. It shall be perfect, not only in action, but in thought. speech, everything. Perfect. His knowledge of the law, the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of His covenant. And I like thinking about this. The wisdom, the knowledge of our Lord, and His knowledge of us. His knowledge of us. As I read, I love John Bunyan. The Lord used him mightily, didn't he? If you've read any of his, he's one of my favorites. Pilgrim's Progress, Holy War, the Jerusalem Center Saved, the Heavenly City, Heavenly Jerusalem. Just, if you've never read that, whew, the Lord gave that man such a knowledge of human nature. Like in Pilgrim's Progress, all those characters you run across, it's somebody, and the Lord put him in prison to do that. So he'd sit there and study, knew human nature, but where'd he get that? From our Lord who knows human nature. He knows the mind, the will of God. He knows the Holy God, His mind. And He knows man. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows everything about our sinfulness, our sinful nature. He knows us. And He's able to deal with us. He knows what is best. He knows what is good. He knows what is necessary. He knows what is needful, like a parent knows their child and does everything accordingly. By His knowledge, He'll justify. David's Psalm, Psalm 139. Thou, Lord, seest me. You know me. It's not a thought in my head. You don't know. So, God sent this wise one. For who? Sinners. The saved sinner. And He knows everything about it. He knows what we have done. He knows what we are doing. He knows what we shall do. And God sent Him to save us. And there's not one single thing left up to us to do. He knows us. We don't even know ourselves as well. We don't know what we're capable of. He does. And so God gave us to Him. Oh, the wisdom and the knowledge of our Lord. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh,